I'm the warm-up act today. our next speaker is no stranger to this church, no stranger to the ministries that he does. But I want to tell you, I've known this man since 2004 when we first met at a Christian Motorcyclist Association meeting, and we hit it off. We've ridden motorcycles together. We've worked together, and we've had meals together. And I'm telling you, this man is a brother after my own heart. Come on up, Mr. Bill Roscoe, my brother from another mother.
Thank you, Mike. Mike and Carol have been very kind to me over the years, and just recently we moved. We moved from one place to another in Caldwell, where we've been living for 15 years or so. And as I was unpacking a box, I found some pictures of a road trip that we took to Sturgis. Mike and Carol sponsored my way to Sturgis that year, and it was a trip that I will never forget as long as I live. It was a beautiful, beautiful time. And interestingly, those of you that know about the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally, and you see some of the clips on television, looks a little spooky, a little dangerous. There were more Christians there, I think, than Hell's Angels. For sure, more than the Hell's Angels. God's angels were there, and they let us come too. So, good to be with you again. Thank you, Pastor. Sure appreciate you and your ministry and all of you folks and the testimony of this church. I talk about you. I brag about you all the time at every opportunity because you have been so kind to me and to the Boise Rescue Mission before me and during my tenure. And I'm sure after I'm long gone, this congregation will still be alongside of the Rescue Mission. So thank you so very, very much for that support. I mentioned to a friend of mine that I was going to be here this morning, and she said, well, maybe I'll come and check you out. I said, okay. And so she did, and she brought friends with her so they can all keep an eye on me. And so you have a little support, but I want to advise the deacons, these people in the front row, keep an eye on them. If it's necessary, you know what to do. Back door's right over there. They start heckling the speaker, by all means, escort them out. Things are exciting at the Rescue Mission, and every day I thank God that I get to be a part of this incredible ministry. And I mean that literally. Every day I thank God that I get to be a part of this incredible ministry. We are serving a lot of people, about 500 people in bed every night, men, women, and children, 900 to 1,000 meals every single day being served. And as we have seen for the last 5 or 6 years, every year, over 500 people who came into the Rescue Mission homeless and hungry and broken went out of the Rescue Mission to their own place to live. That in itself is worth getting up in the morning and being a part of. Amen? Amen. Hundreds of decisions for Christ over all these years and going on today. Men, women, and children finding their way to Christ. And this past summer, we completed the first part of an adventure to better serve homeless people who are being discharged from the hospital. And I've encountered a couple of you this morning who have some kind of ailment and injury, and I want to just speak to all of you to say, just imagine that you went into the hospital to have open heart surgery, and the surgery's completed, and it's time for you to be discharged, and your discharge place is the street, that you have no home to go to, no one to take care of you, and you're going to be discharged from the hospital sometime with tubes going in and out of you and with a suitcase full of pills to take, oxygen bottles and all the rest. You can imagine what that would feel like. And in our case, if I get discharged from the hospital, I'm going to go home and my wife and family will take care of me and home health care will come in and tend to my needs on a routine basis. But if your home is the street, home health care doesn't follow you. And in fact, if your home is the 125-bed shelter dorm at the Rescue Mission, home health care won't follow you. They just can't do that. But since we've opened the Rescue Mission Recovery Lodge, about 40 beds for people, homeless people being discharged from the hospital, now home health care follows those people to our place and serves them there, just like they would you and I in our homes. And we have a team of rescuers on site who are sharing the love and the grace and the compassion of Jesus with these people who are really desperately needy. They're all desperately needy when they come to our place, but in this case, you can imagine the added trauma, the added stress and tension that these people feel as they've nowhere to go after a long illness or a surgery. So we're really grateful that God blessed us with the ability to do this and open the fifth rescue mission shelter. And some people ask me when that's going to stop, and I suppose I'd say when the Lord comes back, we'll stop expanding. Because we don't expand for the sake of expansion. We expand to meet the needs of people who are coming to the mission every day. Every day we see hurting, broken, desperate people. And we have served people coming out of the hospital for the last 61 years since we've been open. This is what motivated us to embark on this new project, because we've served those people at the rescue mission, coming in with oxygen bottles and tubes and all the rest and surgeries, but we haven't been able to serve them very well, as you can imagine. We haven't been able to give them the best possible care. And those mothers with new babies, it's really tough bringing your brand new infant child into the dorm at City Light. Well, now we have a place for all of those people to have an opportunity to start to recover, get on the road to recovery, and then go, hopefully come into one of our programs at the rescue mission so that we can continue to help them find the way to Jesus. So that's the latest news, and it's pretty exciting. And I'm just so blessed to be a part of this incredible work of God. And it boggles my mind as we sing and as we read scripture already today, and I think about who I am. But for the grace of God, I wouldn't be here. But for the grace of God, I'd have no place in his ministry. But because of the amazing grace of God and that incredible love and commitment and sacrifice of Jesus, here I am. What an amazing thing. And here you are. Isn't it wonderful? It is so amazing to be a part of the family of God. So we have a lot of people at the rescue mission, and from time to time I like to go through the shelters and the dining room and talk to people and find out what their situations are and learn more about them. I don't get to do that as often as I used to or as much as I'd like to anymore, but when I do, it's always interesting to talk to people and hear, how did you get here? What brought you to the rescue mission? And so the last time I took that walk around and talked with people, I met this young man who was homeless and in the dining room at the rescue mission. And I asked him how he got there. And he said, well, I started using marijuana when I was 14. And then my father died. And when my father died, I started using other drugs. And he said, I didn't know that I had chronic depression. All I knew was that when I was high, I felt better. And so I kept getting high. In and out of juvenile hall, then in and out of jail. And he said, finally facing prison, he decided it was time to change, time to do something different. And so he came to the mission. I met a lady over at City Light who told me that she had a normal life until she married a guy who persuaded her to use drugs. And with a few years, she was addicted to methamphetamine, one of the popular drugs in our community, methamphetamine. And soon she had a criminal record and she was homeless. And then having a baby and facing life on the street, she thought to herself, there's got to be something better. And so she came to the mission. I met a fellow at the lighthouse who told me that he'd never been homeless before, that he always had his own place to live. But that with the rents going up and being in and out of a couple of jobs, he lost his place to live. And his family, the immediate family that were available to him, were struggling financially as bad as he was, as desperately as he was. And so, to avoid being on the street, he decided he would come to the rescue mission. Last year, we identified almost twice as many people who had never been homeless before staying at the mission than we did the year before. And that number is incredibly large. Over 2,000 people who identified themselves as having never been homeless before. And now they were. And when you see the economy booming like it is, and you see work everywhere, you think to yourself, well, if you want a job, you can get one. And in many cases, that's true. And about half the people staying at the rescue mission are working. And they're under case management with us, and they're saving their money, and they're looking forward to the day that they can move out. But one of our problems today, as you all know, is rents are going up. And they keep going up. And housing is harder and harder to find with 1,000 people a month coming into this beautiful Treasure Valley. it's harder and harder to find a place to live. So we're encountering a lot of first-time homeless people. And the numbers of homeless women and children continue to go up as well. And Gene Lockhart is here this morning, my friend that I mentioned, and worked with us for 11 years and ran the City Light Home for Women and Children for a time. And back 11, 15 years ago, maybe 20, 25% of our guests were women and children. Today, it's closer to 50. It's a remarkable thing. And we're so glad we're there for these people, because whose problem is this? I was talking with a gentleman, a brother here before the service, and how the government thinks they have the answers to these problems. Well, I've got news for the government, probably not for you, but the answer to this problem is us. The answer to the problem of homelessness and hunger and poverty is the Church of God, the people of Jesus. And I found this 27 years ago when I was called to Rescue Mission Ministry from Isaiah 58. And I know we've had an Old Testament reading already, but I'm going to read another. I'm the Rescue Mission guy, you know. We're kind of off the loose somewhere. Listen to these words of the prophet. God says to his people, "Is this not the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? And when you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh." You see, God has told us from the beginning that the problems of our society are his concern, his issue, and if we're his people, and we are, then they ought to be ours as well. And we have to take that very seriously, especially in these days when government is kind of shutting down over here on the one hand, and the population of needy people is growing on the other. We have to take this seriously, and we have to be standing by to help, because he expects us to show his compassion, not a government check, not a government program, but God's compassion to people who are needy and people who need a hand up. God's compassion is the answer. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38, our New Testament reading this morning, is a small passage of Scripture, four verses that speak to this compassion of God, and particularly to the compassion of Jesus. And starting at verse 35 in Matthew 9, we read these words. "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field.'" And when we read these words that say he, when he saw the multitudes, this means this, the intent here, the words mean more than he just looked out here and saw you. Those words mean that he saw them, in that he looked into each of those lives of the people, masses of people who were coming to hear Jesus in those times. He was healing the sick and doing miracles, and people came to see him and hear him, hoping in some cases that this truly was the Messiah, and in other cases wondering, and in other cases denying. But they were there, the masses of humanity, and he saw them. He looked and he saw into their lives. And when he did, it says he was moved with compassion. And when it says that, it doesn't mean that he thought, "Gee, that's too bad for these people. I better keep going. I got others to go heal." It means that he was moved to the depths of his being, that he had that gut-wrenching feeling of compassion for these people. As I talked to a pastor friend of mine one time about this, he said, "Bill, it's like when you're going down the highway and there's a terrible collision, and you can see the cars are mangled up, and you see that there's people lying on the side of the road, and you go, 'Oh, isn't that awful?'" That's the way that Jesus felt as he saw these folks so desperate and so needy. The verse goes on to say that they're weary and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. And I can tell you that at 4 o'clock this afternoon, if you come to one of our Rescue Mission shelters, you will see the masses of humanity who are weary and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. As I mentioned, 400 or 500 people will come in this evening to spend the night with us under one of our roofs. 400 to 500 men, women, and children looking for dinner and a safe, clean place to stay. And in that population, you'll find really old people, senior citizens, older than me, believe it or not. Senior citizens will be in that line coming in to check in for dinner, for a bed, for a place to stay. And I've known many of them, and one who I'll never forget, I have his picture in my office. His name is Granville Dodge. And Granville Dodge had terminal cancer and dementia. And during the time that we knew him, we saw him change from a current, well, I should save that to the end because that's where it is in my notes. We saw a transformation in that man that was remarkable. I see young people, very young people, like Michael, who came to us, who was out of work, had been out of work, had no skills. Here was a young man in his early 20s who had never worked a job really in his whole life. And suddenly he's homeless and he can't find work because he has no skills. So we tuned him up and helped him out. And then there's people like Jessica, who arrived with her young son. I think he was about 8 years old or nine, and her baby girl. And she was fresh out of jail, wondering what was next. What could I do? How can I find a life? How can I connect to God? And little babies and little children that we see all the time at our City Light Home for Women and Children, at our Valley Women and Children Shelter in Nampa, and now at the Recovery Lodge, like Anna. Jean remembers Anna, this beautiful little child. I think she was about 7 years old, and she had experienced abuse that I won't even talk about this morning. So horrific. And she was so damaged by the people in her life who should have been caring for her. Weary and scattered with nowhere to go. Helpless, often hopeless, and in most cases friendless, except for the immediate crowd around that table in the Rescue Mission dining room. And I think that's who Jesus saw when he saw the multitudes, and that's why his heart broke. And if you come down at 4 o'clock and join us, I promise you someone's going to break your heart when you see the suffering and the misery that people are living in. So, as his ambassadors, and as we feel the same compassion that Christ felt, and as we hear the words of God throughout the scriptures, we know that it's our responsibility to come alongside of these people and to extend to them that hand up, that heart of compassion. And that's what we do at Your Rescue Mission. And it is Your Rescue Mission because you and your support for us and your prayer for us, you make everything possible. And that's what we do every day. And you know, it's easy for people to write off the folks that we serve. I suppose there was a time in my own life when I did that. Getting old, I forgot now, but I'm sure I did. Well, you know, they're just getting what they deserve after all. Well, today when I woke up, one of the first things that I thought, and I think it every day, I try to remember to think it every single day, is I thank you, God, that I'm not getting what I deserve. Because if I was getting what I deserve, I'd have been gone a long time ago, and my eternal destination would not have been heaven. So I thank God for his grace and his mercy that has been extended even to me so that I can live this life of hope and faith, and I can share what I know about my Christ with everyone that God would bring into my circle. In verse 37, Jesus says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, "How shall they believe on him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And then in James chapter 2, "If a brother or sister is naked and without daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warm and filled,' but you don't give them the things needed for the body, what does it profit?" And one of my favorite verses, John chapter 3, verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." I believe that we're called to express this compassion toward people in desperate need by showing them the way to the cross. The Lord of the harvest is calling us to go and show people the way to the cross. And we at the Rescue Mission, we do this as we meet the physical and material needs of the people coming through the door. And I love the way that St. Francis expressed this, St. Francis of Assisi, centuries ago, when he said that we are to preach the gospel at all times and use words if necessary. And so we want every plate of food. We want every clean bed in the shelter. We want every clean change of clothes, a shower and a bar of soap, a bottle of shampoo. We want every single one of those things that we give to the people who come through our doors to represent the love and the compassion of Jesus. It's not just a plate of food. It's a plate of food in the name of Jesus. And we want to serve that plate of food with the love and the compassion and the kindness of Jesus. And when we do that, we see remarkable things happen. Amazing things happen in the lives of people. And I got a video. I had a video that I wanted to share with you. We're going to see that right now.
You seem very passionate about your kids.
Yeah. Yeah, I always have been. So I just never had a stable life to raise them up in, you know, and the mission gave that to us. I was chasing money, you know, and I was out all hours of the night, and, you know, I was in my addiction and hanging out with a bunch of people that were not healthy, you know, and my house wasn't healthy, you know, just a lot of alcohol and drugs and people that are just living the street life.
Well, it was at Ada County Jail, and Jessica was very, she was a good candidate for the program, more than most. True, these ladies from jail and from the prisons, they know how to tell you what you want to hear, but then you know that, and you do the best you can to deal with it. But Jessica was very humble, very sincere, and I was pretty darn sure that she really was sincerely a good candidate.
It comes a point in time where I was really tired, you know? Like, I was, to my soul, like, I was seriously tired. And I had been ready for change since I was pregnant with Nevaeh. I just didn't know where to get it, you know? I didn't know where to start to change. And so I was just sick and tired of it.
I'd get to see her probably 2 hours after school, and then she'd leave. And then I'd maybe see her at 12 o'clock at night, and then she'd leave again, and I wouldn't see her till I'd see her driving back in the driveway after my bus was driving away. So I didn't get to see her that much, but now I get to see her every morning and every night, and I get to spend how much time I want with her.
With Charlie, it's been the most difficult because, you know, the life he grew up in is he got what he wanted, and, you know, to pacify him so that I didn't have to, like, fully pay attention to him, you know, so I just bought him things. And he was left a lot with family, and he lived like that his whole life, you know, until he was 9 years old. I think he's just starting to understand that he's not going anywhere and I'm not going anywhere, which is allowing us to build trust. But he's more cooperative, you know, and he's responding well to all the attention and the rules. And
her kids have been through the ringer, like all the kids that come in here. And it's hard on everybody, but it's part of it here. It is a big part of it because they're our future. And, you know, God loves his children. So God worked in Charlie's and Nevaeh's life big time, and in their mom's and Jessica's life. Just day by day, hour by hour, going to staff when she needed to, setting those boundaries with the kids, sticking to those boundaries, and not giving in.
Yeah, I experienced the peace of God, God's peace, when I was in Ada County Jail, when my life was ending. You know, they told me to sign my rights over to my kids. I would never see them again. I was going to do like 25 years in prison. Like, they just, you know, at that time where I should have been really scared and worried and panicking, you know, I surrendered to God. I was like, I can't do this anymore on my own. And I felt his peace. And so when I came here, it was like they just laid that foundation for me. So I really got to understand who Jesus is, you know, and what he did for me and what I'm here for. So I have a purpose in life now. I want to work in women's ministry and help women off the streets. So that's my main focus. I want to help women out of prostitution. And that was placed on my heart a long time ago. But now I'm gaining the tools to be able to do that because of the mission.
I like the shelter. It's really helped my mom get on her feet. And if it wasn't for you guys, we'd probably still be living in a junkyard pretty much. The clothes that I'm wearing right now, these brand new joggers, this brand new sweatshirt, it wouldn't be for the mission. I wouldn't be wearing this. I'd be wearing ripped up shirts with holes in them if it wasn't for the mission. So the mission they filled our bellies. They did everything for us. They put a roof over our head. They gave us clothes.
Thank you for providing a way out. You know, thank you for providing that way for me to realize who I am and who I am in Christ mostly, you know. Thank you for keeping me safe and my kids safe and giving me a second chance at life. My hope comes from Jesus Christ and that we're going to make it.
Anything you want to say to your kids?
I love you both. I will do anything for them. So our best days are coming. And I'm very proud of them. I'm very proud of you, Charlie and Nevaeh, for sticking this out with me and forgiving me. I'm very thankful.
That's what happens. That's what happens at the rescue mission, because you all care and because your compassion is extended to us as you pray for us and serve with us and give for us. This is the outcome, and this is what we pray for with every person who comes into the doors, that they'll find the way to the cross and that their lives will be radically changed forever. I have another friend here this morning, my friend Kendall Thurnow and her husband Rob and the children. And Kendall is a graduate of our program as well, and one of the stars of rescue, as I like to say. It's an amazing thing that God does. King David wrote in Psalm 27:10, "When my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will care for me." Chuck Colson, one of my heroes, wrote, "We serve the homeless and hungry and care for the widow and orphan not out of a desire to be do-gooders or motivated by a social gospel, but out of appreciation for what God has done in our own lives." And so it is in the Rescue Mission Ministries. We're part of this great move of God to help people who are really desperate, really needy, really broken, and often just discarded by society. Jessica faced time in prison. I think you too, Kendall. Kendall faced time in prison. So many of our guests and people coming in have those terrible, dreadful consequences of their sin and misconduct hanging over their heads. And they come in knowing, "I've got court next Tuesday," or they're sitting in Ada County Jail, "I've got court next Wednesday, and they've told me to sign over my children and forget about it because I'm going away for a long time." But because of the prayer of the saints, the compassion of God, some of them find their way to us. And then anything is possible. All things are possible. The Lord of the harvest does his thing. And new life comes to people that desperately need that new life, just like I did and you did at some point in our lives. And so, again, I appreciate so much, Pastor Phil, you and this wonderful congregation of believers. And I appreciate the support that you have shown to us for all of these years. And I want to say now to all of you that if you have a gift, a talent, or a skill, and you're looking for a place to share that, we have a place for you. And you can go to that website, boiserm.org, and you'll find a place there for service, and you can click that button, and you can volunteer and come down and stand alongside of us and get to meet these people who one of these days, we pray and hope, will become part of this congregation, a part of the body of Christ, spending the rest of their life seeking after the things of God. So thank you, and God bless you. And again, thank you for the opportunity to share with you here this morning. Thank you, Pastor.